You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia, southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware 7 days a week. We're here on our Wednesday broadcast of American Workers Radio. Thanks for tuning in. I'm going to ask all of you to go to your telephone and invite family and friends to tune in here on 860. And by the way, if they're on the internet, just send them a little email and say tune in, because we're going to have a great program today. My thanks to our panel, Larkin Connolly of Score Philadelphia, Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store, and Rich Logis, who is the principal of RJL Technologies. I'm Michael Blihash, and as always, I enjoy hearing from our listeners and supporters. Today, we also have joining us a very special guest who's been here on the broadcast before and was very well received, and he is the mayor of the city of Allentown, Pennsylvania. He's been the mayor of Allentown, Pennsylvania since 2006, and he's made some major changes that Allentown is now a perfect example of what can be done when good leadership follows a path of positive change that will benefit the people in Pennsylvania. I'd like to welcome our special guest first today, Mayor Ed Pawlowski. And Mayor, say a few words and let us know how you're doing.
Well, thanks, Mike. It's great to be back on the show. A lot of great things happening here, as you talked about in Allentown. I mean, we have $1 billion worth of development going on here. All of it is with local construction and local products made here in Pennsylvania, all the steel. There's about 7,000 tons of steel, all of it's being made here in Pennsylvania. 36,000 cubic yards of concrete have gone in these buildings, all of that's made here in Pennsylvania. So Allentown is actually really on the upswing at this point. In fact, we were just listed in Fortune magazine as one of the top five cities to watch, downtowns to watch in the country. And I think we were number three because of all the massive amount of development and economic synergy that's happening here. It's really creating a ripple effect for the entire region. So things are pretty good here in Allentown today.
Well, it's just another example of what positive leadership can do. I want to ask you a question before I go to Mark and Rich. How were situations in Allentown prior to you becoming mayor?
It was dismal. You know, I mean, Allentown was like every other, you know, Rust Belt city in the Northeast and Midwest. I mean, our economy was failing. We didn't have jobs. We didn't have growth. We were really on the brink of bankruptcy. And I have to say that 9 years later, we not only are not on the brink of bankruptcy, we went from, you know, multi-million dollar deficits to multi-million dollar surpluses. We solved our pension problem. We're the only municipality in the state that has a fully funded pension through a very innovative lease arrangement that we did with the county. We were able to fully pay off our pensions and reduce our costs dramatically. We have 4,000 new jobs coming into our urban core, $1 billion worth of investment. We're repairing most of our bridges throughout the city are under construction, and really we're tackling the problems that are occurring in our neighborhoods. We have our seventh straight year of reduction in crime, and we haven't raised taxes in 9 years, and now we're the fastest growing city in the entire state. So we've really turned the corner, and we've shown that even a Rust Belt, you know, city like Allentown, if they can really look and think outside the box and push some new innovative ideas, that you can really make a difference and turn the entire context of your situation around to the positive.
Well, I want to give you a good report card, because several people who listen to the program happened to go up for the music fest. And while they were up that way, they went through Allentown and some of the other areas, and they said, well, the next time you talk to Mayor Ed, just make sure that you let them know that there has been an unbelievable, unbelievable improvement since they were at the Music Fest about 7 years ago. So, it's really a great privilege that someone like yourself is giving the example, and we're going to ask you to be involved in a few of our initiatives as our broadcast goes on today. But first, Mark, you've heard it. What do you would you like to say to the mayor?
Yeah, outstanding job, Mayor Ed. Just great. I wish, you'd run in a few years for the country, right? What you've accomplished, though, that positive thinking is what we need, the positive accomplishments. I'm up in Buffalo, New York. We've got some positive movement going, but we need more. I could just tell your energy and what you've accomplished since you've been in office. It shows the people with great leadership is what we need. You got to elect the qualified people, and they're hard in the right place, and you can get the work done. So thank you. It's great to hear what you're doing in your town in America.
Now,
it was interesting. I was at a conference in New York just the other day with 30 other mayors, and we called it Cities of Opportunity Task Force, and we were talking about the economic disparities that are happening within our cities regarding education and wages and we were looking at creative ideas that are really happening across the board, and it's quite honestly in this country, it's cities that are leading the charge. The federal government seems to be stuck in reverse. The state governments aren't much better. They're not moving forward in any way, shape, or form, for the most part, throughout the country. And the ones that are really pushing innovation are the cities. I mean, if you look at where real true innovation is coming that's pushing this country forward, it's at the local municipal level, at the city level. And that's where you really have, I think, that you have this experimental base that's taking place throughout, the country, where you're seeing new innovation occurring, where you're seeing growth that's starting to occur and really sort of pushing the envelope on a lot of different issues, whether it's with pensions or whether it's with, development. It's really happening on the local level, and mainly because, quite honestly, at the local level, we don't have the ability to sit around and theoretically talk about these ideas and have this partisanship. We actually have to get things done. I can't just say to my constituents, "Hey, I'm not going to pick up the garbage today." If it's not working, I got to figure out a way to make it happen. I got to figure out a way to get that street repaired or that bridge, functioning correctly. And it's really at the local level where you're seeing a lot of innovation occur. So it's not just Allentown. I think it's happening really across the country at city level.
You're absolutely right. The thing is, Mayor Pulaski, I wanted to ask you, all of us, support the Buy American Made movement, getting more jobs, which is something our national leaders should have been focused on 35 years ago. But everyone says that it's kind of a slow movement to get things restored. Is there anything you can suggest to get things moving more quickly?
On the manufacturing side?
Yes.
Yeah, well, again, if you think about it, it's really, and pretty much all the cities have this. I mean, I was talking to literally 30 mayors from some of the largest cities across the country. We all have local buying preferences built into our contracting. So for Allentown, to buy local, we have a preference if we buy those products at the local level versus, purchasing from outside the region and outside the country. There's a scoring preference in our purchasing practices. And so, on the local level, we can drive some of that just by readjusting our policies and saying, "Hey, we want to make sure that this is a priority to us. We want to make sure that we're supporting local businesses and creating local jobs." Because for me, job creation, is key. I want to make sure that my populace is working, right?
Most important.
And almost every mayor that you talk to that's worth their weight is focused on this issue as well. How do we get jobs you know, for our citizenry, that they can, have a job that really creates a living wage that could help support, themselves and help support our local municipalities.
Now, Mayor, are you still involved with the Conference of Mayors?
Yeah, I just got elected to the board, actually. I'm very involved with the conference.
Okay, that Rich, you know what that means. He has to get involved in our American Made Month campaign. But I'm going to ask Rich to say a few words to you. Rich Logis, let's hear.
Good morning, Michael. Mayor Ed, thanks so much for being back on. And please correct me if I'm wrong in the statement I'm going to make, but all of the development and accomplishments that you're talking about in the city, sounds like you've got a pretty broad bipartisan support there.
Yes.
My understanding is that you were the first. I did a little bit more reading about you since I knew you were coming back on, and my understanding is you're the first mayor, candidate, I should say, to receive both Democratic and Republican nominations.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there is clearly a bipartisan initiative. My question, Ed, is why is it that you think there is such a that it doesn't translate onto the federal scene, whereas locally you're achieving this. The city is achieving it. Why don't
from what I just said, really, I mean, it comes down to we don't have time to be partisan. On the local level, when you're talking about running a city, you're talking about picking up the trash and making sure that the streetlights work and making sure that traffic is moving and making sure that you're creating jobs and figuring out ways to solve practical problems on a daily basis. We don't have time. I don't have time to sit around and say, hey, what would my ideology dictate? If the garbage ain't getting picked up, I got to figure out a way for that garbage to get picked up. And you know what I've determined, and most mayors have, that there's no Democratic or Republican way to pick up garbage or fix a pothole of the street, or police a community. There's only a right way and a wrong way to do that.
And so, Mayor, has the city council
and unfortunately, that dynamic is lost at the federal level. And the fact that we've jerry-rigged these districts to such an extent where the vast majority of these folks, don't feel that they ever have to really truly make a decision to stay in office is creating a scenario now where I think we're at a standstill in this country. And, to the point where we couldn't even pass a transportation bill.
That's right.
I don't think people realize we're out of money nationally, okay? The Federal Highway Trust Fund is broke. And they don't want to do what needs to be done to actually put the money. All they've done is basically done a continuing resolution for 4 months. Okay, that's all they've done. And they still can't get a. Something that when you talk to Democrats and Republicans, everybody agrees we need to put money into our infrastructure to fix, our roads and our bridges and our highways, right? I don't think there's even the most radical on both sides of the spectrum would probably say, yeah, we probably need to do that.
So
why can't understand. It boggles the mind that something that practical and that simple, they can't get through Washington. It's amazing to me.
So then, Mayor Ed, so you and the city council haven't had a lot of recent town hall meetings about the Middle East?
No.
How about evolution versus creationism in schools?
No, it doesn't really come up that often.
That put those off on the agenda, huh?
No, we're talking about, how do we make sure that we fix, one of our main, one of the 10 bridges that are, right now I got 4 bridges under construction, okay? Our talks are a lot more practical. How do we reroute traffic while we're fixing this bridge?
It sounds like
how do we make sure that commerce is still working as we're building out the downtown? How do we make sure that the jobs that are coming in, are being directed to, folks on the local level? Those are the practical discussions that we're having. Not Now, that's not to say that issues in the Middle East don't come up. I have a large Syrian population, you know, that's in my community. And so these discussions come up, but you know, it's not the course, and it's not the dynamic that's totally focusing our discussion. And quite honestly, not to say that those issues and those discussions aren't important to have, I wish they were having any discussion on the federal level that could pan out into some, you know, significance. It seems to me that they want to focus on things that we really can't have. I mean, if somebody could tell me how to solve the problems in the Middle East, I'd be more than happy to listen to them. Okay,
Mayor Ed, let me offer this.
Talking about something that has gone on for 2,000 years, but on the practical side, our bridges and our roads are falling to pieces, and they don't want to have a discussion about how do we provide the resources necessary to help our states and our local municipalities fix these infrastructures. That's scary to me.
Now, how do we get that to the people so that they would make sure that they question the people? Because these candidates, as you said, the gerrymandering of all the districts and all made it convenient for one party or the other to be guaranteed that they keep their position. That's really not good. It should be squared off like a checkerboard. And you have to cater to all the people in your particular district without, you know, looking for the most Democrats or the most Republicans, and you'll guarantee your vote. This is what the playing around has done to hurt America.
Ed, I truly believe that here today I have the foreign policy answer for America.
Yeah.
And here it is. Don't call us, we'll call you.
Well, I mean, listen, if it was that simple, I would agree with you. I don't think it's that simple. I mean, it's a complex issue, right? And it is an issue that we should be having discourse and dialogue around. And there are obviously interests that we need to be involved in. I mean, I'm very concerned, you know, I mean, and I think we should have, you know, what's happening in Russia and what's happening in the Ukraine obviously will have an impact on the whole European Union, which will have an impact on the United States. Should we be involved in that discussion? Yes. But at the same time, to just get, you know, stymied to the fact that we're not accomplishing any, I mean, can you name one thing that they've passed this legislative session in Washington?
Yes.
No.
I can't. I can't think of anything. You know, I can think of a lot of things that were stopped. You know, I mean, what blows my mind and what should blow everybody's mind that's listening out there is they can't pass a transportation trust fund bill. I mean, the money that funds our roads and our bridges and our highways is gone, folks. They need to figure out a funding source to pay for this going forward, and they can't. They can't get together to focus on a basic thing that if we don't address, and what's going to happen? I mean, I-95 just falls into the, you know.
Yeah.
Into the ocean? I mean, this is crazy. The whole basis of our transportation network and our commerce network in the United States is dependent upon how we build out and maintain our infrastructure. And we have to be the laughingstock of the entire world at this point because we can't figure out how to even have a logical discussion, even though if when you talk to these members individually, they all agree that this needs to be done. And I'm just focusing on this one. I mean, we could talk about politicians, but this one seems practical enough for people to get their head around. You know, they can't have a common sense discussion on how to get this thing done. And that blows my mind. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but that just blows my mind.
Well, Ed, the success that's occurring in the city is a manifestation. It's proof that on the local level, things can get done. We talk a lot about the federal and senators and the congressmen and the president, but we talk about change a lot on this show, and it really can start at the local level. And that's exactly what's occurring right now.
Absolutely. because it's not happening on the state level for the most part. It's not happening on the federal level. And so it's up to the local, you know, municipalities and the cities in general to, you know, basically pick up that slack and sink or swim. And in those that are willing to think outside the box and push the envelope, they're succeeding. Those cities that you know don't want to do that, that are waiting for some help to come from their state capital or Washington, they're going to die.
Yeah.
You know, Mayor Red, you know what I like is you're qualified for your job, but you're actually doing your job. You know, that's what's not happening everywhere. You're talking about things. You're implementing the things, the items you need done. Like you say, picking up the garbage, taking care of the bridges. Them are maintenance items. In my company, my large company, you know, we're up to 75 employees just at General Welding, but you have to do things daily. If you don't, you know, you're not going to be able to do your work tomorrow. So, I mean, what you're talking about is common sense things, doing your job, getting it done, and it's just great to hear that, you know, you're doing it at your level.
And unfortunately, when you're in an executive position, whether you're a mayor, whether you own your own company, you have to think long term. You have to think of things that are going to push your business forward or your city forward. But you also have to deal with the practical things that come up on a daily basis, right? I mean, every day when I wake up, I have my agenda, things I want to accomplish, and 58,000 other things come in between that, usually, that have to, you know, that I have to address, you know, on a daily basis to keep, you know, the
wheel on.
And unfortunately, you know, most of these folks in the legislature, especially on the federal level, never have to really make those decisions. You know, you could sit back and, you know, talk about your theoretical ideological differences. Well, you know, I don't have time to sit back and talk about theoretical ideological differences. You know, I have to keep things, you know, moving. And most, you know, cities do. And that's, I think, the difference, you know, from a local municipal level, you know, and, you know, the federal level. Now, but the problem is this. If we don't figure out a way to get these guys back to reality, to actually start making decisions that will positively impact, you know, our collective community as the United States, I don't know what's going to happen in this country in the next 10 years if we continue to be polarized in the way that we're polarized, because we're absolutely to the point where we're accomplishing nothing.
And we're ready to fold down. Mayor Red,
yes.
And Rich and Larkin, we're going to pause for a few messages, and when I come back, I'm going to ask Mayor Red what type of incentives he could suggest for businesses, and that would be not only in Pennsylvania, across the USA, to get those jobs back and up and running here in the USA. Hold on, we'll be right back.
Download the Go4USA mobile app from the iTunes Store today. This is an online database which helps you pinpoint where to purchase American-made goods and allows consumers to upload product information simply by scanning the UPC code. Consumers eager to help create American jobs by searching for and buying U.S.-made products and services now have what they need in the palm of their hand. These platforms will access the same product, manufacturer, and retailer information available today and which continues to grow from the dedicated efforts of the Mobile Army. Download this great app from the App Store today and help us help each other. Buying American-made keeps American jobs. The Go4USA app will be released for the Android market very shortly. Hatz Auto Tax has 3 convenient locations to serve you in the Philadelphia area. Stop into 2536 East Allegheny Avenue in Fort Richmond, which has same-day direct link service with the DMV. Call them today at 215-427-1832. They also have a location at 5501 Harbison Avenue at the corner of Harbison and Sanger Streets, 215-533-2220. And their location at 400 East Allegheny Avenue, where you can contact their on-site insurance broker, Mr. Cliff Hutchins, who represents Progressive and 10 other insurance companies. Call them today at 215-423-5266. For more information, give them a call or stop in at any of their convenient locations and tell them that we sent you. The Tri-State Media Network is a radio, internet, and newspaper advertising service available to hundreds of thousands of readers and listeners throughout the Tri-State area. They promote advertisers on their internet and Facebook pages, as well as here on 860 AM. Visit them today at www.tristatemedianetwork.com or like them on Facebook at facebook.com/tristatemedianetwork. Call them today at 215-829-9200 for more information on their advertising services.
And I would also like to thank some of our sponsors who broadcast here 7 days a week with us on 860, and they include Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, Serena's Auto Body Shop, and there are two locations in the Philadelphia area, and Net Cost Market, located at 117,001 Bustleton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. And the PRCUA, the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, is Polonia's oldest national fraternal life insurance organization. And Michael Steinman, attorney at law, reminds you that he has two offices in Philadelphia to serve you. And Dr. Eva Maciak wants you always to have a great smile, and she reminds you that they have two offices to assist you. One is at 3084 Armingo Avenue. The other is at 4250 Richmond Street, both in Philadelphia. And also Dominic Rostocki, attorney at law, has his office on the 26th floor of 1835 Market Street in Center City, Philadelphia. You can call Dominic Rostocki at 215-575-7624. Well, let's return to our guest today, who is Mayor Ed Pawlowski, and also to Rich Logis and Mark Andel. Before we go forward, and I want to ask Ed to please join us on a particular plan that we have, but I want to read this small quote. If you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep the movement moving forward. Those are the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, and they're certainly applying to our Buy American Made campaign and American Workers Radio, because we're all trying to move things forward in America. And from what I see, it's going to depend on mayors like Mayor Ed and all the mayors in the United States and all the council people and elected people to do something special, because we're not getting leadership from Washington where we're paying the people to do a job and we're just not getting anything there. Here we are 50 years later, and the words of Dr. Martin Luther King are still very meaningful. And by the way, I wonder if Dr. King were here now, what he would think about the job situation in America, because 50 years ago, when they gathered in Washington, one of the biggest things that Dr. King promoted was jobs for all people, all races, and all creeds. And here we are today, when you put everybody collectively together, we need around 40 million jobs in America to get this country back to normal. Mayor, what could you recommend be done to provide some incentives to get jobs back here in the USA?
Listen, it's complicated, but you know, let me talk about a couple things broad based, and I'll talk about some things here in Pennsylvania. You know, to answer your question, if you just asked, Dr. King would be appalled, I think. I mean, if you look at the income disparities now are so enormous between the wealthiest and the poorest in this country. We almost have no middle class. Do you realize the 400 richest Americans, the 400 richest Americans, now have more wealth than the combined wealth of the other 150 million Americans in this country? Think about that. Try to digest that thought. You know, I mean, it's huge. And so one of the things we need to figure out is how do we rebuild a middle class in this country again. And to get, you know, first off, let me go back to infrastructure. Government does not make jobs, okay? We don't have, you know, government doesn't create jobs. Folks in the private sector create jobs. But government can lay the groundwork for those jobs to be developed. And part of that groundwork is creating the infrastructure necessary so that we have a proper transportation network, that we have a network to be able, that we have a proper network for folks to be trained and employed, that we have an educated workforce, and all that is falling by the wayside. Most of our school systems across the country are in a state of decline because of lack of proper funding, both from the state and the federal governments. We don't, our transportation networks, not only in Pennsylvania, but across the entire, you know, continent of the United States, are falling to pieces, which obviously is impacting the amount of jobs that could be created and how we transport our products. And not only that, we're not thinking on a global perspective. Couple things, basic, you know, natural gas. Let's take natural gas, for example. We have a ton of it here in Pennsylvania. There's natural gas being discovered all over the country. The problem is there's no way to get that cheap fuel to manufacturers to make us competitive on the global market. You know, we haven't figured out a way to build out the infrastructure, which is going to take some national leadership to be able to for manufacturers to utilize that cheap fuel to be competitive. Our ports are in shambles. You know, here in Pennsylvania, we don't have a port because we haven't been able to get the political will to provide the money to dredge the port. Our farmers, which were one of the largest agriculture producers still in the country, have to basically move their products to Newark to be able to ship them outside the state. That's crazy. So we got to think practically. We got to look at I think the basics of what really drove, you know, our economy after the Great Depression, which is focusing on our infrastructure, providing the tools necessary for businesses to grow and thrive, and for us to compete on a global marketplace again. And until that happens, I don't see how business continues to prosper here in the United States. We're becoming more and more a service-oriented economy, and that may work for us now, but in 20, 30 years from now, you know,
we're bankrupt.
We're no longer going to be a world power if that's the direction that we continue to go.
You know, Mark, Mayor, have you seen any of the ads that New York has put out? Come to New York, open up your business. You'll have 10 years of no taxes. You'll have no corporate taxes, no state taxes. Have you seen any of those ads?
Yeah.
Well, Mark is up in New York, and Mark, you've seen the ads, but are they helping you in any way?
No, they're not. And I've got, you know, and we've looked into it a little more. Of course, you brought it up, Mike, and I see the ads. And I want to, if there's help out there, we want to take it. Now, I've used the ECIDA, the IDA, and that's worked for me for tax resolution. They don't give you money, but they give you tax resolution on my four plants that we had. And the tax zones they created are more or less tied to universities, and it's for different service industries. It wouldn't be that you're taking your manufacturing company next to them. So it's not, there's a lot, there's some myth, there's different areas. It's not real clear.
So in other words, it's an enterprise zone here and there is what they're trying to help.
Yeah, and we're trying to identify more because, boy, if we could use it on the Made in America side, not on the general welding side, we would. But it's more or less tied to the universities and around them that were abandoned and things like that. You know, we're touching on, I've got a big meeting coming up today, later, and then tomorrow we're meeting with Business First, which is a huge business paper here. And they're targeting that skilled worker issue, Mike, that we talk about so much. And, you know, the mayor knows, you know, we're kind of all talking about what we're lacking in the country. And one is, you know, that college for all, and not that nothing wrong with college, but we've lost in our schools again the metal shops, the wood shops, and exposing kids to technical skilled trades. And that's what I'm living right now, my biggest problem right now. I needed 30 people in 3 months. We've managed to find one A-plus welder, and we're trying to train, but the customer has no patience to wait. It's going to be a major, major problem. We talk about it a lot, Mike. Growing these skilled workers, there's such a shortage in this country. They got to identify it now and start implementing. And, you know, we have so many problems at our education level. But that's one major one, and we're having a big meeting with the president of the newspaper tomorrow. You know, to work on this problem.
You know, Mayor, I wanted to ask you, how are the schools in your area? Are they focusing on some of the restoration of the trades?
No, they're not. To my dismay, unfortunately. I mean, you know, the school, I have no control of the school, like most mayors have really no control over their school districts, but obviously they affect our municipality, right? One of the biggest hindrances for people to move back into the city is the fact that the school system is, you know, is so much at a disadvantage compared to some of the richer suburban school districts. And I agree. I mean, you know, we not everybody, you know, has the ability to take a college pathway. We need to provide opportunities for other folks in the trades. We're not doing it. What you're experiencing up in New York, we're experiencing here in Pennsylvania as well. We just don't have qualified tradespeople that could actually manufacture anything anymore because we're not teaching these kids to look at the trades as an alternative to college. And there's some folks that are never going to make it to college, and we need to figure out ways to incentivize these kids to look at other opportunities where they could still have a decent living, and you know provide for their families in the trades. And it's just not happening here, unfortunately. It's like it's not happening in New York. It seems like it, but honestly, it's not happening across the country.
Mayor,
they
have
can
a
make they can make good livelihoods. You know, a lot of it. I'm looking for welders, machinists, fabricators. Even electricians, and you can make a good living, and that's where sometimes it's lost. You know, you might go to school, get your master's or PhD, and think you know they thought there was a $100,000 job sitting waiting for them, but there's not. So we got to combine these two problems together and realize what's needed out there, and then train and educate, you know, our kids for that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who tell me that they went into the trades. In fact, in Philadelphia, we have the Orleans Center, and all they said. Since they went through that process, there's no more job losses for them. They have a service. Many of them opened up little side jobs, side businesses. They are making more money than they did on the profession that they went to college to learn about.
Yeah, and most people don't realize this is a long-term problem. You know, we have to, it takes some time to change, you know, our perspective on this issue. And part of it is how we fund public education in this country. Part of it is how, you know, how we're setting up the workforce for the future. And I think one of the things we need to do is figure out ways that we could basically change our approach regarding this particular issue. And we have to really change our perspective. You know, I was in New York recently. I was in a cab with some of our friends. We were headed towards the Empire State Building. You know, when I was on the ground, it seemed, you know, very chaotic, right? Because you're in New York City, you know. But when you get to that observation deck, you look down, you know, on those city streets, and you saw order, you know, and design, right? And what the difference was, I had a change of perspective. And I think sometimes we need to change our perspective in this country. We need to start looking at the long term, not just the short term. You know, we're building a whole bunch of buildings here in Allentown, and you know, some of the folks are saying, well, I want some of those construction jobs. Well, I said, okay, that's fine. I can't take somebody off the street and put them 10 stories up in the air welding iron. There is a skill that's associated with that, right? And it takes years to get somebody into an apprentice program and actually get them trained to be skilled enough to get 10 stories, 12 stories up in the air and start welding iron. Well, we need to start that process now. And we need to have that change of perspective. But a lot of that has to be driven from the state and from the federal government. And we need a change of perspective on how we're actually funding these programs and how we're funding education to create a well-educated workforce for the future. Unfortunately, we don't seem to think more than, you know, 5 minutes ahead nowadays in this country.
Yes.
I don't know why.
You know, Ed, America's been operating on a false economy for so many years that people just haven't really noticed that we fell this far down, and now we're trying to build ourselves up outside of national leadership. A lot of the things that we do, this National Small Business Weekend and all these other objectives that we have, the people are doing this on their own, going out of their way to support local stores and things like that. How do we get to the school boards the message that we need those trades restored?
I think the school boards for the in many ways are there. Okay, the problem is dollars. Okay, it really comes down to the resources that are allocated for these types of efforts, and our trade schools, unfortunately, have been, you know, seeing the cuts that have happened to our public school systems across the board. I can tell you in Pennsylvania, we took $1 billion out of the system over the course of the last several years. 20,000 teachers in Pennsylvania have lost their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
20,000 in just the last 4 years. Now, what here in Allentown, we had over 500 teachers that are gone out of the system. What does that mean? It means larger classroom sizes. It means less individualized education. It means that we're going to have a less educated workforce in the future. Why? Because we don't want to invest in public education. And if we're not investing in our basic education in our schools, how in the heck are we going to have the dollars and resources to invest in the trades and offering alternative education like trades? So it all comes back to we have to have a larger perspective. And if we're serious about an educated workforce, then we need to start educating our kids. And it needs to start from preschool all the way, you know, through high school. And some kids are going to take a path for the trades, and some things are going to take a path for college, but we're never going to get those kids there because half of them are dropping out by the time they even get to high school.
That's okay.
You know? So the gentleman in New York doesn't have an educated, you know, labor force. You know, or trained labor force, because we've never focused on this for the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years. And it's starting to come home to roost at this point where we don't have the workers that could fill these jobs. And so we're struggling. Our businesses are struggling. And I think we've shortchanged ourselves on a competitive global marketplace.
Very well said.
In other countries, you know, they're paying a lot less wages, but they're also investing in education. You know, India's putting a lot of money into training their workforce. And, you know, unless we watch it, we're gonna be second, you know, to them, into Asia in a few years.
Gentlemen, before we continue, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to ask Rich and Mark and join me in asking Mayor Ed to be part of our American Made Month effort. But first, we have to pause for these few messages. Kindly listen to this first message. I hope that it is something that we're playing on our daily programs here on 860. I hope that it will get around the country as well. On Tuesday, November the 4th, Americans will vote in the general election to fill several national, state, and local offices. It is important that Americans elect qualified individuals who will look out for the well-being of America, its employment base, and educational system. The only way positive things happen in America is when every registered voter exercises his or her privilege to elect worthy candidates to represent the best interests of the American people. If you're 18 years of age or older and a citizen of the United States, contact the office of your local elected officials and request a mail-in voter registration form. Registration forms are also available at post offices, libraries, and online at registertovote.org. Complete the form, mail it in, and you will receive your registration card in the mail. All 50 states offer mail-in voter registration forms. The last day to register to vote for the November election in Pennsylvania is October the 6th. In other states, it is generally 30 days before the election. All American citizens are urged to vote on Election Day. I hope that we can talk about that message for a minute, but first I would like to acknowledge that our sponsors would like to say thanks to everyone and thank Mayor Ed Pawlowski for being with us today. Best wishes from Polka Deli, located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, and from the Polish American Travel Service, 2714 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia. And wherever you're shopping, look for Giorgio Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928. And Mr. Martin Bednarik of Washington Savings reminds you that they're there throughout Philadelphia to take care of all of your banking needs. And also best wishes from Yolanda Konopatska DeCipio, attorney at law. And Karen Janad from State Farm Insurance reminds you that they handle auto, home, and life insurance. Give her a call at 215-862-5490. And also Dr. Vojimir Zin and Everest Dental, located at 9892 Bustleton Avenue in Philadelphia, are there to serve your needs. Anytime you need a dentist, remember Dr. Vojimir Zin. Give him a call at 215-671-0188. And Mr. Frank Spula, who is the national president of the PNA, the Polish National Alliance, America's largest national insurance organization, wants to remind you to check out your life insurance plans, and for all information about their services, give the PNA a call at 1-800-621-3723. Well, I hope that you listened carefully to that message about voting, because we do promote a lot of efforts to vote. Some time ago, Mark said that he first heard how few people go out and vote through this radio broadcast. Well, that's the same thing many of our listeners tell me. I had no idea that only 15, 14, 12% of the voters go out on the primary, and maybe a little better than that for the general election. Well, we have an important general election coming up on November the 4th. Mayor Ed, as the mayor of Allentown, I'm sure you agree, people have to go out and exercise their right to vote.
The thing that scares me the most, I don't know what's going to happen in this country in the next 15, 20 years when our current senior citizens, you know,
right,
die off. Because, you know, we're seeing a decrease year after year after year of folks who are registering to vote, and even if they register, coming out to vote. I mean, think of here in Pennsylvania. We had a very... everybody talks about the gubernatorial race. We had four decent folks who were running. We had a 20% turnout.
Right.
20%, you know, for a race that everybody says is important to the, you know, to the future of the state. That's scary. I don't know. I mean, in any local election here for on a citywide level, if we can get 18-20% turnout, that's a good year.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it is, and it's getting worse every single year. I don't get it. I don't understand why people don't want to exercise this right to vote. I don't know if they feel that their vote isn't important, but it's critically important if this democracy is to work. If we are going to make change on the state level, on the federal level, even on a local level, you got to get out, you got to vote, because if you don't, you have and you have no reason to complain about the situation around you, and no one to complain to about except yourself.
Well, Mayor Ed, all the things you mentioned thus far today about, and Mark, you mentioned about officials doing their job. Michael, your message about getting out and vote. What is it ultimately really about? It's that all of these things that Ed, you're talking about with we're teetering and all with our economy, with our in my opinion our presence overseas, which only serves to weaken us and make us less safe. What does it ultimately come down to? Well, it comes down to voter responsibility. And if you're going to see it, if we're going to talk about change, real change, good change, and we're going to, because change can be bad too, right? So we're going to talk about good change. What's it ultimately come down to? It's going to come down to how voters decide at all levels the kinds of people whom they want to lead us. And if you ask the average person, Ed, what is the role of a government official? It's like asking people about what makes a good doctor. Everybody will agree what makes a good doctor. Takes his time, he treats me, cares about me, etc. Ask the average person what a government elected official, what his or her job is, and you're going to hear the same things. When you said about maybe people don't go because they don't think it matters. If people are not out voting because they don't think it matters, they don't think it's a difference, they're indifferent to it, then we need to go and we need to, if we don't like the candidates in front of us, then we need to go and we need to go and create the demand for better candidates. If we can do it in the free market, we can do it in our elections.
During the month of November, American Workers Radio, all of us here on the radio, and we're going to ask as many businesses as possible to help us promote America's businesses, the industries that are manufacturing, all the people assembling products here in the USA, and we're declaring it Made in America Month. And we're going to ask for your help with this, getting this word out to the mayors that you work with, to all mayors across the USA, to see what we can do to highlight the American-made products that they're making in their individual cities or their regions. I think it's a month of November, as Mark often says, is a great month because, first of all, we have a little prep time. On November the 4th, we'll be having an election, and we'll be able to hear from some of the people who are going to say they're going to join up with an effort like this and start promoting jobs in America first. And let's not, worry about the world first, but worry about America and Americans first. In the beginning of the month, we celebrate every first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the month as National Small Business Weekend. It's another opportunity for all the elected officials. Hopefully, our mayors can all join in this effort and promote it. Then comes November 11th. It's Veterans Day. It's a time to honor our veterans and also all American workers. Then we have Thanksgiving. When you have all the people together, we start promoting, let's support one another, let's support our local businesses. The local businesses are really hurting, and we have to find ways to help them. Then after that, in November, we have Black Friday on November the 28th. It's a time for all of us not only to go out and help the little stores, but also to help those that are producing and circulating American-made. And then after that, we have the end of the month comes National Small Business Saturdays, the very next day after Black Friday. That's another opportunity for us to promote small businesses and American-made products. Mayor Ed, what do you think of that idea?
I love it. I think it's a great idea, and you have my support.
I'm going to have to be in touch with you, Ed, to see how maybe you can get this message out. I'm printing it in the next edition of the newspaper here out of Philadelphia, but I am going to put it up on the internet, and maybe we can ask you to email it to your contacts. It's going to be a schedule, and Mark is really worked up over it, and I'm going to ask Mark to go after his people in New York. And Rich to go after his people in Florida. I'm going to take care of our part of Philadelphia and Pennsylvania. I do have some people who are ready, willing, and able to promote it. We're going to ask even for some national proclamations. And you know proclamations are great, but actions are greater. We have to move forward, and that's what we're doing with American Made Month.
I wish that on a broader national level, voters all throughout the country really could hear so many of the things that you're talking about. And the way that it would be achieved, whatever your aspirations may or may not be, after your service as the mayor, as you, I'm sure, discovered when thinking about running for governor, if you're in a position that's an elected position, you're not going to have any time to be an elected official. You're going to only have time to try to raise money. And to get into the larger discussion, I can only imagine if it was so time-consuming to raise money for a governor's race, I can only imagine on a federal race.
Well, you know, Ed, listening to what you have to say and what our panel says, we speak more normal things on this radio broadcast than we hear on a lot of the other stations. And a lot of the other national news networks, it seems that one wants to beat the other. You know, the Democrats are no good, the Republicans are no good, the Independents are no good. We're talking common sense. What are we going to do to get our skills back? What are we going to do to change our educational system? How are we going to get people supporting one another in the USA?
Listen, I mean, I think it starts with voting, like you said. You know, I mean, we have to get practical people elected to these federal and state offices that really want to get back to putting aside this partisanship and this parochialism and focus on, you know, how we can come up with some concrete solutions for the long term to turn the ship around. I mean, if we don't focus, as I started out this conversation, on education, on our infrastructure, on basic things that really drove the economy of this country over the course of the last several decades, then we're ultimately going to be doomed. You know, I am sure that someone sitting in the midst of the Roman Empire before it crumbled thought that it would probably never end, okay? I'm sure that someone sitting in the midst of the British Empire or the Ottoman Empire probably thought, you know, these empires will be here forever. They were not. And most of the time, if you look historically back at why those empires failed, it was because they started crumbling from within and they didn't focus on their basic needs of the people that were in those jurisdictional, you know, constraints of those empires. And I think we're headed down the same road here in the United States. If we don't start refocusing our attention, looking at, you know, our basic infrastructure, looking at our educational systems, trying to figure out ways, you know, that we can be competitive again in this global marketplace, we will cease to exist as a power going forward. I don't think that has to happen. I think if we came together and started focusing on some of these basic issues, and it comes back to getting practical people elected into these offices, I think we can turn the ship around. It is not too late, but there'll come a point over the course of the next several decades where it will be too late for us to be that global power again that's really driving the discussion, you know, on a global level, because we have failed to focus, you know, on our national infrastructure and interests.
Yeah. Mayor Ed, Mark, Rich, as you can see by the clock on the wall, we have to say dovidzenia. But I'm going to ask you, Mayor, if you would put on your calendar another Wednesday so we can continue our discussion. I'd like to hear your thoughts on what's going on with that debt clock. I mean, there are just so many things on there that we could talk about for hours. But until we gather again, I see all of you in my travels, or I hear from you on Saturday at 11 for our regular broadcast, or any day here on 860. I want to thank you for tuning in. My thanks to Rich Logis, Mark Andel, and Mayor Ed Pawlowski for being with us today. Your efforts are going to make America better. Thank you. God bless you. And I will talk with all of you very soon.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Ed. Have a great day.